So we are continuing the pastime, the Leela of Krishna and the lifting of Govardhan Hill. This morning we heard about the beautiful Govardhan festival that the Brajavasis perform. And then we heard how Indra became furious. He became so angry that it's unimaginable. He wanted to kill them all for their neglect of his worship. So Krishna wanted the Brajavasis to please him, knowing that Indra may become deeply offended. During the puja, Giriraj also assured them all that no matter what happened, he would protect them. And thus, by performing the Govardhan puja, the cowherd men had acted purely on the instructions of Krishna, and Indra's violent anger towards them was the result. But Krishna wanted to provoke Indra's anger. That was his plan. So when the fierce storm began, Krishna reflected, "Foolish Indra believes that he can destroy Vraj, but he cannot. I am the only resort for these cowherd folk, and I treasure them as my very life. By giving them full protection, I will destroy Indra's pride." With this in his mind, Krishna lifted up Giriraj and called everyone to come near. Then Balaram brought them all together and Krishna spoke to them. "Oh Baba," he said, "have no fear. Oh Mother, do not be troubled. Oh friends, be happy. Enter under this wonderful umbrella. Since Giriraj ate all our offerings, is it difficult for him to remain suspended in the sky? And do not think that I am exerting myself. Just see how light he is. Even a child like me can easily pick him up. Giriraj is completely independent and he moves according to his own sweet will. And now he is sitting on my finger like a small swab of cotton. Now, collect all your property and come under the mountain. There is no difference between the village of Braj and this valley below Giriraj. Be happy and stay here peacefully." Krishna continued, he told them, "When I lifted the hill, huge chunks of earth fell from the bottom and formed this natural boundary line around around the perimeter. And the wall will keep out the torrents of rain. So, forget your pleasure gardens and forget your attachments to your residences, and let this place become a source of joyful pastimes for you and the cows. Then Krishna pointed to a hole and a ladder by which one could easily enter. And they all came around and then under the hill. To their astonishment, instead of roots and mud and dirt and stones and debris, they found that underneath the hill was a wonderful place that was lit by jewels. The walls were studded with gems that glistened brightly. The ground was embedded with touchstones, and this wonderful place was divided into many sections. There was fresh water available and a gentle, fragrant breeze, which was pleasant to the touch. In that place, Krishna was standing smiling as he casually held up the mountain with his left hand. Taking their wealth, their wives, their sons and daughters, and their cows, all of whom they all felt immeasurable happiness as they entered that splendid valley beneath Giri Govardhan. They became full of surprise and wonder. Beneath the hill, there were fields and fields of rich green barley spread in every direction. There were beautiful crystal clear lakes. And this divine place could easily accommodate their innumerable cows and their animals and their family members. The cows remained near the border of this improvised town, and they pastured on fields full of fresh green grass. And thus, while outside there were fierce rainstorms and raging winds and massive hailstones and deafening thunder and lightning flashing violently, crisscrossing across the dark rain clouds, inside there was no rain, no danger, and no fear. Instead, there were sweet voices, attractive songs, and Krishna, whose beauty was the only focus of everyone's attention. By continuously drinking the beauty and the sweetness of Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan felt no hunger, no thirst, and no fatigue. And Krishna, seeing their happiness, he also forgot about eating, drinking, and sleeping. Giriraj had become like a huge house, And in all directions there were pavilions made of sparkling jewels. And in the center was Krishna himself, situated like a sapphire pillar. The Vrajavasis stood around peacefully in different groups. Nanda Baba and Balaram stood slightly in front of Krishna on each side, while Yasoda and Rohini stood next to them. Krishna's very good friends, like Batu, remained close by, and the elderly gopis with their young daughters gathered stood at a little distance from Krishna. Now, Krishna was surrounded by all his loving associates, and this was what he had desired. Being together under the hill, the fierce rain falling from the roaring clouds sounded as insignificant as water being poured from the mouth of many large water pots. And a most extraordinary thing happened. Although the people were spread out in every direction, some very near and some very, very far away, everyone, every single person could see Krishna clearly in front of them, and they could gaze at him to their heart's content. They could look at his charming lotus face, and every one of them clearly recognized that Giridhari, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, was looking directly at them. This was astonishing. Taking advantage of the intimate setting, the beautiful young gopis like Srimati Radharani and her friends were able to look at Krishna openly with love and smiles, praying for his victory. They gazed at him and they took him into their hearts through their eyes. For them, the harsh violence of the rainstorm was as sweet as divine nectar. Nevertheless, Srimati Radharani criticized Providence, saying, "Oh Providence, you have no intelligence. Therefore, the only time that I can gaze at my beloved without any interruption is when he must hold up a heavy mountain with his tender hand." Then Krishna's friend Batu, who is always very funny, he spoke and he said, "My friend, listen to my words. They will fill you with happiness. Why are you trying to take this trouble to lift Govardhan Hill? You just order me, and by my Brahminical powers, I will hold up this mountain on the tip of my golden stick. You must be very exhausted. Take some rest while I hold up the hill." Then Krishna's mother said, "Oh my darling Krishna, you always act impulsively. For years we have peacefully observed the Indra Puja, but you abruptly stopped it, disregarding the demigods never brings auspiciousness. Oh, how can your hand, which is so soft like fresh butter, how can your hand bear the weight of this terrible mountain without any help or support? Oh, Giriraj, please become as soft and light that Krishna will not feel any strain." Then Bhattu said, "Oh mother, why do you say that Krishna is in any difficulty? Just look at the dazzling sweetness that he has manifest. If Indra had not become angry, we would not have this chance to relish his beauty this moment with our own eyes." Yasoda replied, "Oh, foolish boy, do you think that holding up a heavy load is a show of sweetness? Look, Krishna's forehead is now wet with perspiration, and his face is dry and pale. How can a mother's heart tolerate to see this?" And then Krishna said, "Mother, this is so much fun. Giriraj is just floating on his own in the sky." Yasoda replied, "My son, I will believe what you say if Govardhan gives up your company and flies around on his own." Bhattu said, "O Queen of Vrindavan, this great mountain is sitting on Krishna's hand by the strength of my mantras." Yasoda said, "Impudent one, what nonsense are you speaking? I am burning in anxiety over my son's tendency to act independently, and you are making jokes and laughing about it." Then Nanda Maharaj interjected. He said, "My dear wife, why are you scolding Bhattu? An expert diplomat always uses affectionate words in trying situations." Then someone said, "Oh, look at Krishna. While holding Giriraj with one hand, he now holds his flute in the other and presses it very gently to his lips. And now he is playing a soft tune." Bhattu said with alarm, he said, "Oh, my friend, don't play your flute now. How will you protect us if Giriraj becomes completely ecstatic and falls from your hand?" Another boy replied, he said, "There is no fear of that. A person with great patience may sometimes thrill with ecstasy, but he quickly recovers his composure. So just relish the nectar of Krishna's flute and give up your restlessness." The Rajavasis all began to consider how right before their eyes they could see the ocean of inundation. They could also see the clouds that were causing the inundation. And they also could see the difficulties that were created by that inundation. And they also saw the deliverer from that inundation. In such a dangerous, frightening position, they had not been defeated. Then one of the Gopi girls said, "Oh, Radhika, your face is so beautiful. But do not make your eyebrows dance, because that will disturb Giridhari's mind. And his arm will start to shake, and it will cause the mountain to fall from his hand." So Radhika covered her head with a veil and looked shyly to the ground. But then, unseen by others, she beamed a sweet, gentle smile to bathe Krishna in a shower of nectar. Krishna blissfully trembled, and the gopas, thinking he was tired, raised their sticks to help him to hold up the hill. Beneath Giriraj, there was singing, dancing, laughing, recitations, and performances by different players. The knowers of Vedic customs chanted auspicious prayers and mantras and gave charity. And the children played. What happiness did Giriraj not give them? Meanwhile, outside of the umbrella of Giriraj, huge clouds sent by furious Indra poured down incessant rain, and fierce hurricane winds blew. Yet not even a particle of dust was washed from Giriraj's surface. The deer, the birds, and the animals, and even the leaves of the trees remained totally unaffected by the devastating storm. The storm tried to show its power, but became totally exhausted by continuously pouring down profuse rain. And after 7 days, the powerful Samvantaka cloud had failed to flood the district of Mathura simply by Krishna's potency. He immediately dried up all the water as it fell to the ground. Meanwhile, Indra, pulled down from his platform of pride and defeated, shamelessly retained his fighting spirit. Unsure whether Vraj had been destroyed, he sent hundreds of wind devatas to carry out his work. And they came back reporting that nothing had happened. Convinced that the strong rains must have destroyed everything, Indra then sent the cloud devatas, who also returned, saying that nothing had happened. "O Lord," they said, "we have seen a great wonder. having consumed all your offerings, this hill has become most powerful, and it's standing up very, very tall. Thinking that this was strange, Indra became more depressed. And then, suddenly, the lightning Devata appeared in the sky with exactly the same kind of report. Indra asked, "Where have all the people gone?" And the servants departed to have a look and survey. And they quickly returned and they said, "Oh Indra, the people have all been burnt to ashes by your lightning." Indra said with joy, "May you live long. But check once more." This time, the servant returned with a different story. "O King of Devaloka, the people have not actually perished. On the contrary, now, from under the hill, they make tumultuous and blissful sounds like a festival. Govardhan Hill, whose body is made of stones, is resting on the hand of Balaram's younger brother, Krishna." Indra said angrily, "This arrogant mountain has taken the side of the people. He's protecting them from destruction. But when my flaming thunderbolt smashes him to pieces, they will all be crushed to powder." Indra sent another group of messengers to Vraj, and they returned saying, "O Master, we did not even see 3 leaves fall to the ground. Not even an ant is troubled. If this is true on the top of the mountain summit, then the people under the mountain are far from suffering in any way." Then, furious, Indra hurled his most powerful weapon. And when it also failed to do anything, he thought in silence, "This must be Lord Vishnu, who has appeared in the form of Krishna, who is holding up this mountain. Now, at that very moment, just as Indra was starting to reflect more soberly, a foolish yaksha," and the yaksha is, he's like a bit of an evil fellow, "he was partial to Kamsa, and he approached Indra, and he bowed down with great respect, and he said, 'O Indra, I am the son of Drumila. I offer you my respects. King Kamsa is full of affection for you and sends you this message. We are very pleased with the actions that you have undertaken. It is intolerable to see the insignificant show disrespect to the great. There is no necessity of accepting sacrifices from these foolish cowherders. We perform sacrifices to you instead. Hearing this, Indra became shocked. By the intoxication of pride, he realized, by the intoxication of pride, I had destroyed my intelligence. And I have acted so badly that he whom I should have honored as a friend, I have attacked as an enemy. And now, having done that, I am being offered friendship from my enemies. Because I was proud, I was defeated. A proud person is always defeated. That is the way of the world. Then Indra very gravely told his servants, the Samyuktaka clouds should be called back. Stop the storms immediately. And then, with sorrow, his pride destroyed, and filled with doubt and remorse, Indra entered his celestial aeroplane to return to his palace. However, due to his offenses to the people of Raj, Indra found his home had become like a living hell. He was now unable to find any way to live with himself. So here we find Indra experiencing terrible guilt and shame because of his anger and his malice, his pride and his cruelty. But meanwhile, the residents of Vrindavan were simply fully satisfied under the protection of Giriraj, who had promised to take care of them and to defeat Indra's pride. There is so much for us to learn from hearing this pastime and reflecting both upon danger and shelter in Krishna's service. And tomorrow morning, we will hear how Krishna deals with Indra and his terrible mistake. Thank you.